Welcome to another episode of the Left of Lansing podcast with Pat Johnston. A progressive insight into Michigan's political and cultural world. And of course, an entertaining podcast designed to shine a light on how to make Michigan's political machine work for the people. Now, from the Left of Lansing headquarters, located in his attic, here's the award-winning Pat Johnston.
Welcome to another edition of Michigan's premier progressive podcast. I am Pat Johnston. Yeah, sorry, I'm not feeling very jubilant to give you my normal introduction. I don't think I'm the only one not feeling the most jubilant right now about the state of the state of Michigan and about the entire country. As of this recording, which is near 3 o'clock Eastern time, I'm speaking to you from the Left of Lansing studios in my attic. And I think that the announcement has been made that Kamala Harris will be making her concession speech in probably about 1 hour from now. I'm looking at the latest numbers, thanks to the NBC News Decision Desk. And as it stands right now, they have called the state of Michigan, of course, for Donald Trump. He has 49.8% of the vote to Kamala's 48.3%. If my math is correct, he is winning by around a little over 80,000 votes. Around 5,623,000 votes have been counted. 99% expected votes have been counted. And I just wanted to go back and check to see the numbers for the 2020 presidential race between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And in that race, and I'm including all of the other presidential candidates from the Green Party, let's say Libertarian Party, Natural Law. According to Wikipedia, the total votes for that election were 5,539,000 total votes for in Michigan. So that means there were, I don't know, around 100,000 or just under 100,000 more votes for this election compared to the last presidential election, which means that Michigan actually did increase its total vote count for the presidential race. Going against, though, what we thought was going to be a huge turnout across the country, but it appears that the turnout was lower compared to 2020. I'm going to quickly just check the Senate race, too, because that was close. Alyssa Slotkin so far now has a 16,000 vote lead over Republican Mike Rogers. And it does appear that Alyssa Slotkin may just hang on to win her race there. As for the House representatives, this could have been better. This could have been better. Let's just put it that way. A lot of the incumbents won for both parties. Kristen McDonald Rivett, the Democrat from the 8th District, she was able to defeat Paul Young, a MAGA Republican, by a 51 to 44% margin. She did a pretty good job there, so that was good news. However, in District 7, which was Alyssa Slotkin's old seat, that has flipped. Tom Barrett, another MAGA Republican, edged out Curtis Hertel, Democrat, 50 to 46%. Also, John James was able to win again as he defeated Carl Malinga by a 51 to 45% margin there. So it could have been better on that side. If there was some good news in what was really a lot of bad news across the state of Michigan, Kyra Bolden won the state Supreme Court race over Patrick O'Grady. So that was a pickup for the Democrats. Actually, Democrats kept that seat. A pickup for the Democrats was Kimberly Thomas defeating a MAGA Republican, Andrew Fink. So now the Democrats have a big-time majority there on the Michigan State Supreme Court. I'd also just like to say a quick congratulations to my good friend Kelly Van Genhoffen for winning her race up in Delta County. So she remains on the Delta County Board of Commissioners after she ousted a MAGA Republican in a recall race up there last spring. So that's good news up there in Delta County. Now back to the bad news. It does appear that the Michigan State House has flipped to the Republicans. We're just not exactly sure by how many seats. It's not going to be a sizable majority, but a majority nonetheless. And that would mean MAGA Republican Matt Hall will now be the new Speaker of the House. Not a good day for Democrats across the country, not a good day for progressives across the country, not a good day for many who believe in democracy and decency across the country. And I have to tell you, everybody, that I am despondent. I think that's, for the lack of a better word or description, I am despondent. I really am. 2016, that was a shock. But I thought after 2020, America had learned its lesson that it would no longer look at Donald Trump as some kind of savior, that he was the buffoon, that he was the grifter he always, always had been. I thought him being an adjudicated sexual harasser, I thought him being a convicted felon, somebody who had been convicted of fraud, and also somebody who had been twice impeached, also the person who tried to subvert the will of the people in 2020 by directing, or at least jump-starting, a violent insurrection on our nation's capital back in 2021. But the joke was on me, and the joke was on a lot of us, I suppose. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm sounding a little different than I normally do, and that's because I'll give you a little background on how I do each and every episode. I usually have a bunch of notes, so I kind of go by those notes, and that's where I have all my facts and figures that I will share with you as I'm making my argument during, you know, my opening monologues or my last calls, what have you. But today, I just felt like speaking from the gut, because apparently that's what Americans want. They just want somebody who speaks from the gut. It doesn't matter if it's filled with lies. It doesn't matter if it's hurtful to people. It doesn't matter if it sounds fascist. It doesn't matter if it sounds authoritarian. It doesn't matter if it sounds anti-American. Apparently, that's what the people want. Michael Cohen, who writes for MSNBC, he says the flip side is that Trump ran an awful campaign. He gave a terrible RNC speech. His VP was deeply unpopular. He lost the debate. He had no ground game to speak of. He offended key demographic groups, and none of it mattered. No, none of it did matter. And that's why I'm despondent and very discouraged here. I really did put a lot of weight, and I put a lot of faith that the Democratic ground game, especially in the state of Michigan, would pull Kamala Harris through. I really did. Not to mention, I just thought the people would have seen Donald Trump for what he was. But again, joke was on me. None of it really mattered. I recall when Kamala Harris went to the Democratic convention, that it was the biggest speech of her career, that it was a speech that would define her career. That's what the corporate media told me for that entire week leading up to her speech. And she gave a really good speech. She did. It was a little too centrist for my taste, but I understood it. I understood. She was speaking to all Americans, and she was using the convention speech as a way to introduce herself to the country for those who may not have known her, because she had just been running a campaign for about a month prior to that whole convention. And she knocked it out of the park. And then a month later, she had her debate against Donald Trump, which again, I was told by the media, would define Kamala Harris. And it would be the moment that could make or break the entire presidential race. Just remember, a couple months prior, That's what a debate against Donald Trump pretty much did end. Not pretty much. A debate against Donald Trump ended Joe Biden's campaign right then and there. That's why the switch was made to Kamala Harris. And she knocked it out of the park again. She dismantled him. She destroyed him. She made him look like a fool when he was arguing that it really was a fact, according to Donald Trump, which was a lie, but that it was a fact that migrant workers were eating cats and dogs. I mean, Richard Nixon is remembered still for losing the first debate against President Kennedy because he had a 5 o'clock shadow, not because he was arguing some falsehood, some absolute lie, some ridiculous lie that migrant workers in the state of Ohio were kidnapping and eating cats and dogs. And the polls right after the debate showed that she won. America thought she won. She destroyed them. But guess what? In a couple of days, all forgotten. All forgotten. And the polls started to go back to Trump. Even though she cleared two of the hurdles that everybody said she had to clear, she did it. She did the 60 Minutes interview. Donald Trump didn't even show up. She did the CNN town hall that Trump was supposed to be at as well. But she showed up. He didn't. She showed up, yet didn't get really any credit whatsoever for all of that. She ran a pretty clean campaign. She ran as we expect our politicians to run a campaign. Donald Trump didn't do any of that. And he got rewarded, no matter what. He got rewarded. Dr. Ian Garner, who is a professor of Russian history, wrote, "Democrats were too centrist, too left, too right, too pro-Israel, too anti-Israel, too good on the economy, too bad on the economy, too nice to Trump voters, too mean to Trump voters, too ambitious, too unambitious. Maybe people just like what Trump is selling." And I think that's maybe the part for many of us that is driving many people towards major depression right now. We just didn't believe it was possible that somebody like a Donald Trump could really garner the kind of support that he is able to get. Despite all of the evidence of his failures during his presidency, people like him because he airs the grievances they want aired, and he's able to redirect their anger not towards the billionaire class, his class. He's able to point to others and say, no, it's brown immigrants. No, it's transgender athletes. No, it's Nancy Pelosi. It's their fault. It's everybody else's fault but the billionaire's fault. And it resonates with people. It worked. I knew that Democrats were in trouble, and I knew that Kamala Harris was in trouble the moment that the networks refused to call New Jersey, Connecticut, Illinois, Virginia quickly right after the polls closed. That's when I knew there was trouble on the horizon. And then when I saw the numbers starting to trickle in Michigan, I had a feeling that this was going to be 2016 all over again. And we have to admit to ourselves as a country, Kamala Harris pulled in around the same numbers as Hillary Clinton. And the similarities are they are both women. And maybe it's just a fact in America, American pop culture, American culture, that we don't want women being president, especially women of color, that they'll go for a convicted felon, a guy who a judge said on the stand, the crimes that you have been described to have been doing when it came to sexual assault are the exact same as rape. That guy, the guy who tried to tear down our democratic institutions, they said, we're going to go with him, the white guy, the 78-year-old white guy who's clearly not on his game. We're going to go with him, and we're not going to go with the black woman. Sorry. I think it's not out of the realm of possibility to say this will scare Democrats from nominating a woman for a very, very long time. And for that, I feel sorry because there are many strong, smart Democratic women across the country who could run for president. Gretchen Whitmer here in Michigan is one of them. I don't think she'll ever get her chance to run for the presidency because America just doesn't want a woman being president, especially a Democratic woman. I hear a lot of people saying AOC is the future of the party, and I think she is definitely one of the stars of the party. She's just going to have to wait probably 12 to 16 years to run for the presidency because America obviously is not ready for that. America wants authoritarianism. America wants a little fascism. The billionaires are able to divide the people just enough so that way they will vote for a party that hasn't really done much for them in a long time. I think the more telling part of how Kamala Harris just was not supposed to win this race is how Latino voters, especially Latino men, went with Trump. They went with Trump. Despite the hateful rhetoric that he has used against South American, Central American immigrants, they backed him. Here in Michigan, we had the Arab American vote, especially in Dearborn, go to Donald Trump, even though he uses Palestinian as a slur. He uses it as a slur, and he has always been a big-time backer of Benjamin Netanyahu, yet they still went with him. Why? I think it's because, partially, they didn't want to back the woman. And I'm hoping, since now Joe Biden's presidency is almost up, I am expecting to see all of those pro-Palestinian protesters show up at every Donald Trump and every J.D. Vance appearance. I mean, the Gaza war is going to continue, so I'm going to hold you guys to it that you're going to show up. Why do I think some of you won't? That being said, I don't want to spend time blaming voters, like blaming white women for once again going for Trump instead of voting for the Democratic woman. I do want to say that I think, at the very least, since Democrats have lost the United States Senate, which means that Donald Trump and the Republicans will be able to fill many, many judicial seats across the country, not to mention maybe a seat or two on the U.S. Supreme Court. I think it's time for Democrats inside the United States Senate to say, so long, so long, thank you for your service to Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. Well, he will be Minority Leader. It's done. Chuck is way past his prime, and he's not an effective speaker or leader. It's time for something fresh, something new. But I am bewildered. I am bewildered and despondent and downright sad for the country. I'm seeing a lot of people on social media, some fellow progressives out there saying, come on, man, we got to get up there and we got to fight some more. Come on, we got to do it. I'm not there right now. I'm just not there right now. And I don't know how long it's going to take me to get there. It's going to take me a little while. I started this venture to focus on Michigan politics, but of course that would also mean I would branch out to national politics as well. So I talked a lot about the presidential race since the springtime, and especially after what happened with Joe Biden dropping out and Kamala Harris coming in. Maybe I have to take this podcast back to its roots, and that is focusing on the state of Michigan. I'm so lost right now, not just because Kamala Harris lost and Trump is now our president once again, but I'm lost because I didn't think this MAGA Republican Party in the state of Michigan would have a chance at retaking the state house. And they did. Rick Snyder, bravo to you. Mighty fine day's work there by you. You bankrolled a lot of these candidates. You were upset that Michigan Democrats were dismantling your legacy, and you won. So congratulations. MAGA Republicans led by Matt Hall are now going to lead the Michigan House. Yes, Democrats still have the state Senate, and yes, you still have Gretchen Whitmer as governor. But now everything has changed. Democrats will not be able to get their agenda passed because Republicans will be there to block that agenda. So that means clearly many, many people will not be helped. And I feel sorry for that. But I'm not going to quit on my Michiganders. I'm going to continue this project, this podcast, in the hopes of ensuring that we have a Democratic governor replace Governor Whitmer in 2 years, and that Democrats once again retake the state house and increase their advantages in the U.S. Senate. Not to mention we'll have an attorney general race and another secretary of state race. And it will be interesting. It will be interesting for sure. I can't change the world, though. Not that I thought a podcast would change the world. I wasn't thinking that would happen. I guess I go back. I've been thinking about this throughout the day, and I've mentioned this scene from MASH before here on the podcast, and I just have to share it again because I think it's how I can refocus my efforts on what to do here. But there's an episode where Hawkeye and BJ are able to, in their way, stop somebody from doing the wrong thing that was harming children and harming mothers and just harming people in general. And so once they're able to get the guy to stop, he says, oh, great. So you guys think you're just going to be here and you're going to change the world? And BJ says, no, just our little corner of it. And perhaps that's what I have to focus on, is I want to try to help change our little corner of the world, which is the state of Michigan. So I'll continue to do that here on the podcast, especially after the holidays. For the next few weeks, though, I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to do, how I'm going to feel. Because right now, I have to tell you, I don't have much fight in me at the moment. And I get people. I get a lot of fellow progressives right now who are dropping out of Twitter, who are canceling subscriptions to people that they listen to on YouTube or on podcasts. And I can't say I don't blame you. I really can't. I think a lot of people put a lot of effort and gave a lot of their nerves for this election, only to have everything come crashing down. The America that they once knew is no longer that America again. I'm not going to get down on people like that. I think some people just need a little break, and some people need some time. And I'm hoping maybe a year from now, in early November of 2025, people will start getting re-engaged again. But I understand that a lot of people are upset and they feel like no matter what happens, no matter what they do, it ain't working. So they're going to drop out for a while. I hope many of you who are listening won't do that with this podcast. But I can tell you that while I love doing this podcast, I'm doing it because first and foremost, I love communicating with you. I got into broadcasting alone because I love radio, and that's why I switched over to podcasting, so I could finally say what I wanted to say, and I could give a progressive viewpoint, a viewpoint that doesn't really get shared a whole lot on terrestrial radio. That's why I went to podcasting. So I'm going to continue this venture, but I and some others, especially, the Michigan progressive podcasters, there are a few. We need some support. We need a good messaging machine here in the state of Michigan. And I think that the podcasters, the progressive podcasters, that they are doing a good job in trying to connect everybody, connect all the Democrats, connect fellow progressives, connect some independents to let them know, hey, this is exactly what we're fighting for. This is why it's popular. This is why it will work. And so we could use your support. And I've always said, it's nice to get the those of you to subscribe. It's nice of you to also, you know, give the podcast a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. But doing this, it's not cheap. It's not cheap. I'm not telling you that, you know, I'm asking people to give your Michigan progressive podcasters, you know, thousands of dollars. Nobody's asking that. But, you know, maybe just a little here and there always helps to help pay for just some of the bills that we do and for some of the time. You know, there's a lot of time that is taken on here on producing the show, writing the show, getting guests for the show, and then, of course, post-production work. There is a lot of work that goes on there. So if there's any way that you can help out and you can donate a little to help with us, we would greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate it. I know you'd just be doing it out of the goodness of your hearts and your goodwill towards helping spread the message, the progressive message throughout the state, but it's just something that needs to be noted. For now, though, I am despondent, and I'm not sure where I what I do right now. LGBTQ plus activist Charlotte Clymer tweeted the following, and I just have to just share it. She said, "I'm tired and I am shattered." I get it. Many of us are tired. Many of us are shattered. And it's going to take a while for everybody to regroup. And I'm not going to tell you how to do that. I'm a big believer that checking out, tuning out once in a while is a good thing. Not to always be just consumed by the news and consumed by politics 24/7. You will burn out. And I think that's what is happening with a lot of progressives across the country here today. In the meantime, I will continue. I will continue my fight. And I will continue to battle the forces, the MAGA forces, who I think are going to lead this country into ruin if we all step aside at the same time. That being said, I also need just to kind of chill out for a second, digest everything that's happened, and see where we move on from there. You can always email me, leftoflansing@gmail.com. That's leftoflansing@gmail.com. You can follow me on Facebook. I'm going to remain on Twitter. You can follow me on Instagram. Maybe I'll start doing more on Threads. I do have an account on Threads, but I really haven't done much on Threads in a long time. But again, if you'd like to contact me, leftoflansing@gmail.com. Everybody, just try to hang in there, and we will once again, in our own way, take the battle to them. I'm Pat Johnston. Thank you, Michigan.
Left of Lansing podcast was produced by Pat Johnston, written by Pat Johnston, researched by Pat Johnston, edited by Pat Johnston, and hosted by, yes, Pat Johnston. Technical assistance by Dr. Heather. And thanks to our good friend Kirsten for the awesome podcast logo. Remember to visit leftoflansing.com for more news and information. Thanks again for listening to the Left of Lansing podcast.